The Great Dream, Pawns of the Monarch. Blessings in love. I'm your host, Dawid Yaakov Maccabeus. For those following the true time calendar, rather than the Gregorian calendar, we have just passed the 21 or the 21st day of the first moon in the original ancient Hebrew calendar. To be clear, we are currently in the month of Abib, which marks the true time of the Passover. For those who have been following this calendar, notably, last year's Passover fell on April 8th, 2024. Now, what makes this significant was the occurrence of a total solar eclipse. Okay. Now, today's broadcast is entitled The Great Dream, Pawns of the Monarch. And you are listening to Signs and Wonders, the broadcast that came right on time. Before I begin, I will send a message to Yahuwah or Ayah in the name of Yahshua. In the name of Yahshua HaMashiach, the blessings from Ayah or Yahuwah, thank you for another day upon your beautiful planet. Thank you for my clear mind in this time of confusion. Thank you for the gift of life, love, prosperity. Thank you for my family and friends. Thank you for your grace and guidance. Thank you for your love and patience. I ask that you open the hearts and minds of those that need to hear this message. I ask that you bind and bound the principalities in high places that work to confuse this message. I ask this in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach, in the name of Ayah, our Yahuwah. All praise Ayah, all praise Ayah, all praise Ayah. Okay, now to begin, a few months back I did a broadcast called The Great Dream, Origins of the Blue Bloods. First, I will recap a few key points from that message. We ended that broadcast speaking about the most ancient tribes of biblical history called the Kenites. The Kenites are known as the offspring of Cain, the firstborn of Adam and Eve. Now, the importance of this knowledge is found in Genesis 3:15, and it reads, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shall bruise his heel." Okay. Now, for those of you whom are confused, this word seed is in reference to offspring. And this passage is the conversation between Yahuwah and a serpent, which is Nakish in Hebrew. Okay, Nakish. Now, and that's Hebrew 5:172. This serpent was a demonic entity in the Garden of Eden. For deeper insight, I will get a broadcast called, okay, you can dig into a broadcast called The Seed of the Serpent and the Amalekite Deception. You can just type that into the internet, Google, boom, it'll come right up for you, okay? The Seed of the Serpent and the Amalekite Deception, okay? Now, in that broadcast, we take a deep dive into the complexity of this topic. Today, we will focus on the repercussions of Genesis 3:15 and see how it affects us to this day. Now, to begin, I will reference the Encyclopedia Britannica, Wikipedia, and various other biblical scriptures and books. Okay, now here is what I found in the Encyclopedia Britannica pertaining to what was occurring in the garden and the seed of Cain in reference to the Kenites, okay? Now, it says here, and it reads, "The Kenite, ancient people, member of a tribe of inerrant metalsmiths, okay, related to the Midianites and the Israelites, who plied their trade while traveling in the region of the Arba, the desert, reef valley extended from the Sea of Galilee to the Gulf of Aquaba. Okay? From at least the 13th century to the 9th century BC, the Kenites, spelled K-E-N-I-T-E-S, the Kenites' name was derived from Cain, C-A-I-N. I spelled it out so you can understand that this is where it comes from. And whenever you hear the Kenites in scriptures, that is from Cain. Okay, and it says, whose descendants they were believed to be, the Kenites are mentioned several times in the Old Testament. Okay, now, as I was reading that from 13th century to the 9th century BC, I wanted you to see that timeline. Okay, now I would make a minor correction because I believe this tribe traces back a lot further than the 13th century BC. One could make an argument that they trace back to the 1300 centuries, right? 13,000, I mean, centuries, 13,000 years ago. Okay. Now, this is during the time of Göbekli Tepe. Remember, I did a broadcast on that 2011, a long time ago. It was when that was around the time we first discovered about this, and we said, wait a minute, what's going on here? Okay. Now, I say this because when we read the book of Enoch, we discover how the fallen angels commingled with the seed of man. Then we read the history of Cain and how he went into the land of Nod and how his offspring became the Kenites and how that same tribe settled in the promised land. Now, keep in mind, in the book of Enoch, we read about the daughters of man being given to the fallen angels. Just like Eve in the garden, we have angelic entities creating a hybrid race of beings. In addition, we read about another tribe called the Raphims, which were the result of the angelic entities and the seed of man. Now, deeper insight. I will read a brief explanation from Wikipedia. And it is here. According to Wikipedia, in the Hebrew Bible and other ancient Near East texts, the Northwest Semitic term Raphite, Raphim, plural, Romanized Raphim, Ugrit, and where is it? Phoenician, refers either to a people of greater than an average height and stature, as described in Deuteronomy 2, 10, 11, or to departed spirits in the afterlife, dwelling in Sheol, as referenced in Isaiah 26, 14, Psalms 88, 10, Proverbs 9, 18, and Isaiah 14, 9, okay? They are very, very documented, very much documented, okay? Now, and the this is in the Raphims are also known as the Nephilim, as it reads from the Wikipedia again. It says the Nephilim, okay, are mysterious beings or people in the Bible traditionally imaged as beings of great size and strength, or alternatively, beings of great power and authority. The origins of the Nephilim are disputed. Some include the author of the Book of Enoch view them as the offspring, keep that word in mind, offspring of rebellious angels and humans. Others view them as descendants of Seth and Cain. This reference to them in Genesis 6, 1 through 14, but the passage is ambiguous and the identity of the Nephilim is disputed. According to the Numbers 13, 33, 10 of the 12 spies reported the existence of Nephilim in Canaan prior to its conquest by the Israelites. Okay, now let's examine this. First, we are going to read the book of Numbers 13, 25 through 33. We're going to see what the word says about this. Okay, and it reads, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they took hold and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, okay, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak, right? Like the Anunnaki, Anak there. Anak means neck or necklace as strangling, but they also have them as giants as well, okay? It says, the Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelt by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though through which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. They were cannibals. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, okay, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Okay, take a drink of water. Okay, now, this should sound familiar because this was prophesied in Genesis 15. It is Yahuwah's covenant with Abram before he became Abraham. We read about two prophecies, the 400 years of slavery and the war of the Nephilim. Okay, now, and it reads here, it says, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom thou shalt serve will I judge, and afterwards shall thou come out with great substance. Now, before we continue, I want to make sure you fully understand that this verse is saying, okay, I want you to understand what it's saying about this seed. Okay, now notice the word seed in Hebrews. This word is zarah. Okay, zarah. It's found in Strong's Concordance H2233. And it reads, zarah, figuratively, fruit, plant, sowing, time, posterity, okay, carnal, child, fruitful, seed, time, sowing, time, right? Now you think about the seed and time. It takes time for the seed to grow. That's why you have all of these meanings, words, to give the definition of seed. Then, when you place the actual modern Hebrew characters, okay, you get to take the Hebrew characters, put them into a Google Translate, you get words like sperm, semen, gem, corn, and offspring. Okay. Likewise, when you place the Paleo Hebrew characters, you get words like continue, hair, or sun. And then the symbol of that is like a seed. It's really very interesting. Now, when you read Genesis 3:15, it says, and I will put enmity between the woman, right? And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shall bruise his heel. Okay. Now the seed, when they say seed, they're speaking, of course, of offspring. Okay, now it says the same word seed is H2233 is used in Genesis 3:15. Now, I mention this to make sure there is no confusion on what the word is speaking about. The offspring of the serpent, right? And the offspring of Abram. And for those of you whom are confused about, then it says, they shall afflict them for 400 years. Remember that says that in Genesis 15? It says they shall afflict them 400 years. This is speaking about Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68. The section on the curses for disobedience. All right, now I'm saying all this because I'm leading up to something that is very important. So I'm just laying the groundwork for it, okay? And if you get confused, you can listen to this again. Everything makes sense once you hear it for the second time, okay? Now, when you dig deeper, you will realize the same beings the ancient Hebrews removed from Jerusalem are the same beings responsible for the curses of Deuteronomy 28, which is why the so-called Western nations are falling. We see the discord within the United States of America, the conflict with Canada, France, and the European Union. Now, nothing is united, and the union is dysfunctional. Take notice of the conflicts between France and West Africa, the development of the BRICS nations. You will see that Africa is finally rising as the West is falling. So when you read, and also that nation whom thy shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance, this means great substance is coming, okay? So there's a lot of things going on this earth real time. I've been doing these broadcasts for years, over a decade now. And a lot of you have heard this over and over again, but we are actually living it right now, like in real time, okay? Now, here's the second part of the prophecy, which is actually why I wanted to set this broadcast up for, because it's about the monarchies, right? Now, in the second part of the prophecy, it reads, "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, Yahuwah made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kutumites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Kenites, Canaanites, there's Kenites, K-E-N, and Canaanites, C-A-N, Canaanites, and the Gergesites, and the Jebusites." Okay, now, I know you noticed the Kenites, okay? I have a question. How did they survive the flood? Because remember, the flood was supposed to wipe out everybody, but the Kenites survived, right? Now, maybe there is something missing from the story, do you think? Okay, now, this will be a study for another time. Today, we will focus on those 10 tribes that were mentioned, specifically on the Rephaims, or the Rephaims, the Rephaims. Okay, now let's dig a little deeper into the Rephaims. Here is more interesting information. This is found in the Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, when you search for Rephaims, what's interesting, it brings you to Moloch. Remember the god that I did? I did a study on Moloch, explaining that that was the the god that was mentioned in the bioengineered food. Okay, everything is like coming together full circle. Moloch, which is very interesting because Moloch is worshipped by the demonic elite class of today, right? So as you go into the Encyclopedia Britannica, they just take you to Moloch, okay? Now, this is what it says. It says, Moloch, a Canaanite deity associated in biblical sources with the practice of child sacrifice. The name derives from combining the consonants of the Hebrew Melech, king, right? Malak, with the vowels of Boset, shame. Boshit, shame. Molech. The later often being used in the Old Testament as variant name for the popular god Baal, which also Lord, in the Hebrew Bible. Moloch is presented as a foreign deity who was at times illegitimately given a place in Israel's worship as a result of a synchronistic policy of certain apostatic kings. Apostate kings. Okay, and that's why we have a lot of problems today. You want to know where the problem started? Boom, right here. The laws given to Moses by Ayah expressly forbade the Jews to do what was done. Okay. Now, let's be clear. The Raphims are the Nephilim, who are the offspring of the fallen angels. Moloch is Baal, right? That's Baal. Baal worship, that's Moloch, Baal. And when you think about Baal, reflect on the hundreds of thousands of missing children today. Now place your mind on the millions of abortions taking place all over this world. Now take your mind back to the ancient Hebrews that sacrificed their children to Moloch. And when you hear about the Canaanites that lived in Jerusalem, think about their worship of Moloch, okay? Now, this is why Yahuwah wanted the righteous seed of Jacob, Israel, to clean the land, because the land was infested with demonic spirit worship. Now, keep in mind, the Raphims are connected to the Kenites through Cain and Seth. And as mentioned, their descendants are still in present day promised land right now. How do we know this? Because the connection between the brotherhood and the Nephilim. We hear that the elite bloodlines of the monarchies proudly trace their lines to the fallen angels. And when you look at the regions of Hermes Trismegistus, and the other offshoots like the Hermetic Kabbalah, Rosicrucianism, and the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, you see that they are all practiced by the so-called demonic elite class, okay? Which is why we read about the 320,000 migrant children that are missing just last year alone. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of discord in this world because the power structure is being overturned. All right. Now, to better understand this, you have to focus on Freemasonry and the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. This stems from the Masonic Rosicrucian fraternity formed in the 18th century Germany. All right. It goes far back, but this is recent. It goes back thousands of years. This is recent. And the recent time is very important because a lot of the power plays that are being done today are based on all of these different secret societies, okay? And it should become more evident now as we see how the world is pretty much a system of fraud, especially when it comes to currency. Now, the Order of the Golden and Rosy Cross was formed in 1750. And at that time, the King of Prussia, Frederick William II, was a member. And if he was a member, how many others had monarchies? How many other head of the monarchies were also members? Okay. Now, as the word states, behind every idol, there is a demon. So this Hermes Trismegistus is a demon whom stems from the Raphims. The Raphs, they should call them, maybe the Raphs, Stargate. Anyway, stems from the Raphs, right? The Raphims of the fallen angels, or they could be the Raphims or the fallen angels. In the ancient texts, they are called demonic spirits. Okay, now I'm going to read something from 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 22. It says, we read scriptures that are distinct on this. And it says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But Allah is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to Allah. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of Yahuwah and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of Yahuwah's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke Yahuwah to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Because we did that a long time ago now, which is why we're in this predicament. Now, the communion is symbolic of the sacrifice that Yahshua made for us, which is the purpose of the Passover. But the Gentiles got it twisted and turned it into idol worship. And eventually they started worshiping the same idols as Moloch, like the ancient Hebrews, which got the ancestors cursed into captivity. Okay? Now, as we conclude, we will dig deeper into the topic of idol worship and see how the usurpers of present-day Israel use this to keep our planet in darkness. But first, let's explore the recent origins of the demons controlling our planet at this particular moment in time. Now, here's a little more information on the deity. Hermes Trismegistus from Wikipedia. And let me get this up so y'all can get a little bit more insight on this one. All right, Hermes Trismegistus may be associated with the Greek god Hermes and the Egyptian god Thoth. All right. Greeks in the Ptolemaic kingdom of Egypt recognized the equivalence of Hermes and Thoth through the Gracia. Consequently, the two gods were worshipped as one in what had been the temple of Thoth and Khamun, which was known in the Hellenistic period as Hermopolis. Okay. Hermes, the Greek god of interpretive communication, well, I can't read today, was combined with Thoth, the Egyptian god of wisdom, the Egyptian priest and polymath, Imhotep, had been defiled long after his death and therefore assimilated to Thoth. All right, that's important to understand. The Egyptian priest and the polymath, Imhotep, had been defiled long after his death and therefore assimilated into Thoth in the classical and Hellenistic periods. And this is what the Gentiles do, okay? They always take this work, these spiritual practices, and they pollute them. They defile them, okay? And they don't even, you're not even recognizing what they were in the original. This is why this world is so chaotic. It says, the renowned scribe Amenhotep and a wise man named Teos were co-equal deities of worship, science, and medicine, and thus they were placed alongside Imhotep in shrines dedicated to Thoth, Hermes, during the Ptolemaic pyramid. Okay. Now, to be clear, the Ptolemaic kingdom of Egypt existed from about 305 BC to 30 BC, which was the same time frame that the Maccabees, the tribe of Yehuda, became the rulers of Jerusalem. And during that time, the seed of Esau converted to Judaism, and the Maccabees were usurped. Okay. Then we have King Herod the Edomite ruling Judea from 37 BC till about 4 BC. Now, during this time frame, the Edomites became the Jews. This information is vital to understand because this is what's going on today. We don't know what's happening today, but, you know, the Jews that that are there are actually the second variation, like I always say. The first variation was the conversion to the Edomites. Then Herod becomes the king. And now we have another variation there, okay? Now, for example, we read in Matthew 23, 30 through 36, Yahushua was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And keep in mind, the seed of Esau converted to Judaism, and the Edomites are now the Jews. So who is he speaking to at this time? All right. Now let me get this ready. Okay, and this is Matthew 22:30, and it says, "If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers and with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye vipers." No, he says, "ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come unto this generation." Okay? Now it's very important to understand that. Now, as you can see, the seed of Cain seems to be always in close proximity to the Hebrews of the seed of Yaakov. And how do we know this? Because it says, "that upon ye may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth from the blood of righteous Abel." That's in the garden. So now we go back to the seed, right? The seed, Zarah, okay? Which is the offspring, okay? That's is the fulfillment, right? Enmity. Said that word forever. Enmity between thy seed and her seed. Okay? Now, after the Ptolemaic dynasty or the Hellenistic period came the Roman Empire. And then you had two major powers, the Byzantine or Byzantine Empire and the Holy Roman Empire. The Byzantine is morphed into the Ottoman Empire and the Holy Roman Empire that became the Holy Roman Empire of the German nation, which is, which is the most powerful nation on the planet at this time. And it still exists. It just went underground, ruling from the shadows. Okay. Now, to put this into perspective, think about the different monarchies before 1914 and the abolition of the monarchy itself. Remember, they abolished it? They abolished the monarchies. I think it's more of a restructuring, personally. The most powerful rulers were members of the Masonic orders. As we mentioned before, Frederick William II, the King of Prussia, he was a member of the Order of the Golden and Rosy Cross, the Kings of Portugal, the Kings of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, the Kings of Norway, the rulers of the Ottoman Empire, the Kings of Netherlands, Francis I, the Holy Roman Empire, the Kings of Denmark, Sweden, and Germany. That's just to name a few. All of these were members of these particular orders. Okay. Now, I mention this because the bloodlines of the monarchies that claim to trace their lineage to the Nephilim are the same ones practicing the religion of Hermeticism. And what is Hermeticism? What I talked about before, Hermes Trismegistus, which is the Hermetic Kabbalah, which is influenced by the Jewish Kabbalah. Now keep all this in mind as we travel back to the book of Exodus when the original ancient Hebrews encountered the Amalekites. Okay. Now this is part one. I'm not going to go through the whole, I think I'm going to break this up into three different parts. But we're going to end shortly on this portion. Because when we pick it up next time, we're going to speak about the Amalekites. But before we do, let me read this. It says, Israel defeats Amalek, Exodus 17, 8 through 16. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and it means place of rest. And Moses said unto Yahshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of Elohim in my hand, right? The rod of Yahuwah, of Ayah, in my hand. So Yahshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. Then it says, the one on the one side and the one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Yahshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the sword, with the edge of the sword. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, write this down, very important, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Yahshua. Okay? For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Yahovah Nasi, I, Yehovah Nasi, the symbol, and it means the symbol of Yahuwah. For he said, because Yahuwah have sworn that Yahuwah will have war with Amalek from generation to generation, which goes back to Matthew 23:30, which talks about this particular generation of vipers, right? Now, if that generation of vipers is there and the Edomites took over, right, then you understand that they're there. And then if you go back to Zacharias, son of Barachus, that was during the time of Darius. So the generation was there as well. That means that Cain had to be in there as well, somewhere, right? Now, we can probably do a study and trace where they were through time. We'll do that for another broadcast, okay? I just want you to keep in mind that where it says Yahuwah will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Okay, now we see in the next section, I'm actually going to speak about who Amalek is and why there is a war for generation to generation and how this is connected to the Nephilim. And you should actually see that coming into view now. But anyway, I want you to stay tuned. This has been the first portion of this broadcast. Thank you so much for listening to The Great Dream, Pawns of the Monarch. And I just want to remind everybody that the Passover did pass. You know, the one that's coming up is the actual artificial one. It's the distractor. And I believe if people were just to get back on time with when the proper time frame is, and we become as united as one family, I believe that we will be able to unify and become a powerful nation or become the remnant that is spoken of in scriptures. Okay. So I am your host, Dawid Yaakov Maccabeus. Let me close with a prayer. Yah, thank you for this message. I ask that you bring it to the people that need it. I ask that you continue to bless us with knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And I thank you, Yah, for another day. And all I can say is hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. Happy to speak to you and happy Shabbat. I will be here next Saturday with another portion of this and see you then. Peace.